Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder and clinical psychologist Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us right now. And I've seen your posts on Facebook. You're a Cubs fan, aren't you?
I'm a bit of a Cubs fan. Yes, Wendy. Yeah, I love the Sox. I love when they win. You know, I was happy when they won 11 years ago, but my allegiance is pretty blue and red here.
So it's been, the last couple of weeks have just been amazing, haven't they? Seriously?
Unprecedented, yeah. Amazing. And there's this kind of civic connection I think a lot of people feel to one another. I find myself and other people walking down the street, and if you see somebody in a Cubs hat like you are right now, Bill, there's a little bit of like, hey, go Cubs, or just a fist bump or something, you know, and it's just this feel good in the midst of a lot of things going on that don't feel so good, you know, and so it's really like, I don't know if every city in America is feeling it, but I think we have a lot of feel good here in Chicago right
now.
John,
we've all been talking about, Wendy, myself, Steve have been talking about how this World Series seems to be more civil. It's not as hateful as many sports contests have been, almost like a Little League type atmosphere.
Yeah.
You're seeing that too, aren't
Absolutely. You? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think you're talking about two cities who are long suffering and just so excited to be part of this, you know? And I think there's something cohesing about that, you know? And the ribbing feels gentle. It doesn't feel like, you know, you guys are going down,
right?
You know, and you're really going to pay the price. I think it's more like, you know, good luck, but I think we're going to win, you know, playful. Yeah. Like a fantasy league almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
It is like Little League. I mean, watching Francisco Lindor, he's chewing on his necklace. He's just loosey goosey.
Oh yeah.
Everybody putting their arms around each other in the dugout. And, you know, Sox fans, except a few of them that I know, saying, you know what? The Cubs deserve it.
Right.
It's really a different time right now, but I figure you guys have been waiting for so long.
Yes, and it is fun to see some of these guys, Lindor, Baez, playing like kids, you know, literally playing. Like, you know, in the midst of a game where things aren't going very well, you get these guys laughing and, you know, talking to each other on base and stuff. And normally in high-tension sport athletic situations, you just don't see that, you know? And so it's really lovely to see, actually.
There's a wide-held belief in sports that your opponent is your enemy. Stare them down. Don't be friendly with them. What are you doing? I'm not seeing that this time around. They're all having a good time.
I think they're all having a good time. I think they all want to win. But there's something I think about the looseness of the atmosphere that's bringing out the best in both teams. You know, I suspect a good game tonight, you know, that's going to be really fun to watch and just a celebration.
Yep.
I have one complaint.
Yeah. What is it?
The beards. They're just, you know, Arrieta looks like Abe Lincoln. There's people on the Indian. It's just, they're not, that's like when the Cubs were first in the World Series beards.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's an intimidation factor,
isn't
it?
It's not intimidating. It's like, look, there's Gramps on the mound.
Gramps is the catcher.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think if you look back through even the careers of these guys who are pitching and wearing the beards, you see that sometimes, you know, a few years ago, Jake Arrieta looked like a kid. He didn't look very intimidating. Suddenly, he looks like he's made of steel, you know. Like, and I think the beard is part of the pomp of that, you know. So I suspect there's some truth to that.
Too big.
Yeah.
I mean, Kipnis has a beard, but it's kind of, you know, shaved down a little bit.
This is true.
Everyone looks like the Smith brothers from the Top Shop.
That's exactly what it is.
I know.
It is a throwback, no doubt.
There is, without a doubt, some psychology to being a fan of any team. Isn't there? It's a lot of psychology.
Absolutely. You know, the sports fandom, there's some actually really good research about it that says, like, you know, it's a great diversion from our everyday lives, for one thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this stress relief. But I read an article recently that suggested that being a rabid fan of a team is kind of an antidepressant in a weird way, because you feel part of something bigger than yourself. So you pull part of your sense of identity from being part of that team, down to the clothes you wear, you know? You know, according to research, it gives you something to believe in, and it doesn't much matter in terms of, like, mental wellness, whether your team is winning or losing. I take a little issue with that in the way we feel right now, but I think even when, for the Cubs example, are losing, I still think we feel affiliated, you know, and I think that feels good and takes us out of even the doldrums of some work life and family life stuff and gets us just distracted enough that we can kind of move on.
Right.
And you just said it yourself. When you see someone walking down the street with a Cubs hat on, you kind of, your comrades, yeah. you know, so it's yeah. like you feel a sense of belonging yeah. to someone.
And sometimes it runs deeper than that, you know. It runs deep in families. You know, there are families that you know would fall apart if they weren't all Bears fans for generations. You know, and that's the thing that pulls them together. And so you can't minimize how important it is to relationships. You know, because a lot of people form the relationships around the teams they care about in their families, with their friends, even if it's a friendly rivalry. If you're not rooting for the same team,
yeah.
I think sometimes you know, you can bolster your friendship and your connections by just being affiliated with sports and with certain teams.
It's a conversation starter, good, bad, or indifferent. It could be a debate over which team is better, the Cubs or the White Sox. It could be which catcher do you put in. The Cubs have three catchers. It's an automatic conversation starter with somebody.
You know, in the last few weeks, I've worked with a few kids who are having a very difficult time connecting socially.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, boy, I just don't have an in. These days in Chicago, you have an in. You
right.
know, like I had this talk with a boy last night, and you know, and he realizes, oh, that's true. You know, we're all kind of Cubs fans, or we're not, but at the very least, it's a conversation starter, yeah. and I can get going on that.
Yeah. But don't you think it stems back, like, what were your parents, Cubs fans, or not really because you weren't from
the. I learned long after I grew up that my mother was a closet Cubs fan.
Really?
My dad read the back of the sports page just enough to say, like, hey, how about the Bears? If he knew the Bears were in season.
Good.
Because my grandfather was a Sox fan all the way around.
Right.
My dad, I wasn't even really into baseball that much. But I feel like you are what your family is. Because, you know, I had a couple of boyfriends who were Cubs fans and I wanted to make the switch and I just couldn't do it.
Right, right.
I'd switch to Stros from old style maybe, but I can't switch baseball teams.
Well, it does. That speaks to how important the affiliation is, right? Because if you could, you probably would,
yeah.
right? It would have been easy, but
it
you
wasn't.
Know, like, but it's not easy because once you feel like that's part of your identity, I think it's really hard to withdraw from that. You ask what my parents were. We weren't baseball fans, but we were Notre Dame football fans.
Wow.
Till the end, you
yeah.
know,
and
yeah. good, bad, or indifferent, you know, we love the pomp and everything that happened
yeah.
down
yeah.
at that stadium.
But think about when you draw this out, John, how for most of us, we don't know any of the guys playing for the Cubs. I mean, we've probably never met them. We probably will never meet them. We see them on TV or if you go to the ballpark, and yet we're so loyal to them and the uniform that they wear. And it's really strange. You can't say that about it. You would never root for a stockbroker. You would never root for a civil defense
attorney. They don't have great uniforms. That's why.
That's what it comes down to is the uniform.
It's such a good point. You know, the closest affiliation to that I can think of is when you're a fan of like a band or a rock star.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but sports even more so, right? Because you can name all these people, you will never know them, and yet you feel this strong affiliation for them.
Yeah.
And I think you get a feel for, or you want to feel like you get a feel for what they're like.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that somehow has meaning for us, right? Oh, this is a bunch of great guys. They deserve this. And that means we all deserve this.
Mm.
You know, we kind of generalize to ourselves in a way,
yeah.
you know?
Did you ever hear Jerry Seinfeld's bit about how you're not really rooting for the players, you're rooting for the uniform? Because you could have a favorite player on your team, but as soon as he's traded to the Texas Rangers and he shows up to town, you boo him.
Oh,
you don't want to see that
worst.
Guy.
He yeah. is the worst, absolutely.
It's true. Dr. John Duffy is here. He's the author of The Available Parent. He comes by every other Wednesday to talk about psychology with us. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We're talking to Dr. John Duffy. You mentioned his book, The Available Parent, which I saw your little shout out on Facebook. Bill Rancic has a new book out, and he gave a shout out to your The Available Parent.
Apparently, that was the last book that Bill Rancic wrote, read rather.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was very nice of him.
All right, The Available Parent. You're a great psychologist. You're a life coach. You help a lot of teenagers come to grips with life, and a lot of teenagers are coming to grips with the election that's going on.
Yeah.
I have a senior at LT High School. They're doing a mock election tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And my son Michael is like, well, who should I vote for? I said, don't ask me, man. You got to vote on your own.
Right.
And he's weirded out about, well, this is just going to separate the Republicans and the Democrats even more if we do this.
Yeah.
So he's worried about casting his vote. And I said, well, you don't have to tell people who you're voting for. It's a whole weird thing for these kids. And I don't want to go to, I might vote early because what about the polls? I mean, mm-hmm. when you go to your polling place, I'm worried about people heckling each other.
It's such a drag, isn't it? It's so disappointing in a way that this is what this election cycle has come down to. And thinking about what Michael's going through and that he is anxious about casting a vote, right? Right? With this great American right, his first
right.
chance to do it, even if it's in a mock situation. And it makes me think, boy, we're modeling something really, really negative for our kids when not only can we not talk politics in a civil way, but you can't even go and cast a vote because you think, oh, this is going to be divisive. People aren't going to like me. And I think you're saying, I think I kind of feel the same way. You know, I'm right. anxious too, and I want to get my vote under the radar. And I noticed right. there's very few yard signs. And, you know, and I think what's getting lost in all this is the idea that we should be able to talk about politics, right?
Absolutely.
This is something that shouldn't be taboo. There should be discourse, and it shouldn't be so divisive that we can't have a civil conversation. And somehow we've got to get back to being able to model that for our kids. Otherwise,
we're not going to be able to in this election.
This is a toughie. It's a toughie. I mean, if we can pull it out in the last few days and find a way to talk reasonably about these candidates, that would be amazing. I think you're right that this is a tough election to do it in, but it might be a useful exercise to talk to your kids about why it's tough to talk about it too. You know, like, you know, this is particularly divisive, and talk about what it was like when we were kids and people did talk about it. And
the good old days of Richard Nixon,
but
the politician stood for something.
You know, I've always been a blabbermouth and said who I voted for. If anybody asked me, I never kept it quiet, but
right.
back in our parents' day, no one revealed really who they vote for.
No.
It was very quiet.
And I think there was more, I mean, I almost feel like Washington modeled some of this for us by talking across the aisle once in a while and having lunch with each other. Now I think the division, the rift is so wide that I do think, you know, people are afraid, what do my neighbors think? Are they going to, you know, I'm afraid to hear what they have to say because I'm afraid I'm going to disagree so vehemently that I'm not going to be able to
right.
have a dinner party with them.
Right.
You know?
Even if your kid is just watching TV or listening to the radio, the ads that have been run the past several weeks back to back to back to back, it's filled with hate.
Yeah.
You're trying to teach your kid to be tolerant of other people and kind to other people. And then if they're watching their favorite television show, they're treated to all those commercials. It's very hard to work around.
It's brutal. You know, it's where, though, I think the pause button comes in handy, because if we decide that this is kind of a bust in terms of being kind to one another, at
yeah.
the very least, if you pause during one of these ads, and you see some kids responding to ads on some videos online and things like that, and you ask your kid, like, so what do you think? What are you hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Kids, even really young kids, will have a strong reaction, and they might teach us something for
right.
one thing, but their voices can be heard a little bit, and they might say, like, you know, boy, I really don't like the way he or she is talking, you know, like, it doesn't seem very nice, or, you know,
yeah.
and to draw that out of the kids, that might be the best we can do in terms of drawing something good out of a vitriolic, messy process.
And Facebook is not helping at all, because you have rabid supporters on both sides that we were talking about this yesterday. You find fake articles that say, oh, here's what's going on, Hillary did this, and like, you go to find out the source and it isn't a source. It's like
right.
people just post any kind of quote news story, so then people who are undecided go, oh, well, I can't vote for him or I can't vote for her because look what's going on.
Yeah.
So that should be policed somehow too, and it's not.
It's not, and I fear that so many of us get the bulk of our information from something that somebody has posted,
yeah.
right? You know, and, you know, this is just stuff that somebody can make up on the internet. And so that might be another, as parents, that might be a teachable moment to walk our kids through, like, okay, here's what somebody posted. Let's see if we can figure out what the truth is here. You know,
yeah.
My son and I played with this last week, you know, where something nasty and vitriolic and ridiculous was posted. And so we thought, all right, let's see if we can root out the truth mm-hmm. by looking online. And it took 15 seconds, you know, to find like, okay, so that's obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people don't take the time to do that. And we might be teaching our kids to believe what they read online, you know?
Dangerous.
It's super dangerous.
Just a little dangerous.
Yes.
We only have you for a minute, and it's not fair to ask you this with less than a minute, but here it is. Every year, Jimmy Kimmel does this thing where parents tell their kids.
It's so mean.
The day after
You're
Halloween.
You're a mean man, Bill.
That they have, the parents have eaten the child's Halloween candy. It's all gone. They stayed up all night and they ate the kid's Halloween candy, and they show you 15 or 20 kids whose reactions run the gamut from, I hate you, you're the worst parent ever, to other kids who go, I understand, you were hungry and you did what you needed to do.
Right.
Does this have any permanent damage on a child? We're going to run the audio later. We don't have time to run it now. We're going to run it later. But does this, will this
so
screw
mean.
Up a kid for life if you do this to a kid?
First of all, I get a huge kick out of the bit. I have to admit, Wendy, you're right. It's terribly mean. I think that's part of what we love about it.
Yeah.
I think if you have established enough goodwill with your child that you can get away with a little playful fun once in a while, especially because it's not long lasting. And I would imagine within a few moments you tell your child, okay, this isn't really what happened, but man, is it. I mean, the dark side of our minds say this is super funny.
It's so wrong.
Because your kids trust nobody on the planet more than they trust their mom and dad, and for their mom and dad to betray them on such an important thing is so wrong. And yet at the same time, it's so funny. I don't know why it is. It just is.
I don't get the kids that go, oh, well, I understand you were hungry. What kid says that? That kid is too well adjusted.
I don't know if you saw it last night. There were a couple of kids who did exactly that. No, I understand. You were just doing what you felt you needed to do. And you go, wow.
I've always wondered, honestly, whether those kids are cued to that before the video
seems
starts.
Like it, because no kid's going to have that reaction.
Right.
Because they're little, right?
Yeah.
They can't reason all of us, oh, you must have been hungry.
Right.
No, it's all ego. I think that it's all like, you know, I want mine right now.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it is. John, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, obviously, to the Cubs, your baseball team. We're all hoping that
Cubs.
This is the night.
Go Cubs.
I'm saying it with a smile today. Remember yesterday I really kind of wasn't?
You're so good, Wendy. You're so good.
Really, you guys deserve it. Do it.
How about that? Thanks, John.
Thank
Appreciate
you guys.
It. A quick break, and then Kim Gordon has the news for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.